Chapter 83. Comprehensible now why Mordecai's glance took on a sudden eager interest as he looked at the newcomer. He saw a face and frame which seemed to him to realize the long-conceived type. But the disclaimer of Jewish birth was for the moment a backward thrust of double severity, the particular disappointment tending to shake his confidence in the more indefinite expectation. Nevertheless, when he found Deronda seated at the Kohen's table, the disclaimer was for the moment nullified. The first impression returned with added force, seeming to be guaranteed by this second meeting under circumstance more peculiar than the former. And in asking Deronda if he knew Hebrew, Mordecai was so possessed by the new inrush of belief that he had forgotten the absence of any other condition to the fulfillment of his hopes. But the answering O struck them all down again, and the frustration was more painful than before. After turning his back on the visitor that Sabbath evening, Mordecai went through days of a deep discouragement, like that of men on a doomed ship, who having strained their eyes after a sail, and beheld it with rejoicing, behold it never advance, and say, our sick eyes make it. But the long contemplated figure had come as an emotional sequence of Mordecai's firmest theoretic convictions. It had been wrought from the imagery of his most passionate life, and it inevitably reappeared in a more specific self-asserting form than ever. Deronda had that sort of resemblance to the preconceived type which a finely individual Buster portrait has to the more generalized copy left in our minds after a long interval. We renew our memory with delight, but we hardly know with how much correction. And now, his face met Mordecai's inward gaze as it had always belonged to the awaited friend, raying out, moreover, some of that influence which belongs to breathing flesh, till by and by it seemed that discouragement had turned into a new obstinacy of resistance, and the ever-recurrent vision had the force of an outward call to disregard counter-evidence, and keep expectation awake. It was Deronda now who was seen in the often painful night watches, when we are all liable to be held with the clutch of a single thought whose figure, never with its back turned, was seen in moments of soothed reverie or soothed dozing, painted on that golden sky which was the doubly blessed symbol of advancing day, and of approaching rest. Mordecai knew that the nameless stranger was to come, and redeem his ring. And, in spite of contrary chances, the wish to see him again was growing into a belief that he should see him. In the January weeks, he felt an increasing agitation of that subdued hidden quality which hinders nervous people from any steady occupation on the eve of an anticipated change. He could not go on with his printing of Hebrew on little Jacob's mind, or with his attendance at a weekly club, which was another effort of the same forlorn hope. Something else was coming. The one thing he longed for was to get as far as the river, which he could do, but seldom and with difficulty. He yearned with a poet's yearning for the white sky, the far-reaching vista of bridges, the tender and fluctuating lights on the water which seems to breathe with a life that can shiver and mourn, be comforted and rejoice. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.